Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hot D. We're the officially unofficial podcast for all of HBO Max's House of the Dragon series. And I am back here with my friends Jim, Maester Anthony, for a special announcement of what we're going to be doing with the feed now that we have a release date for House of the Dragon in June. We've got about 10 weeks to go. I can't believe it. It's like almost here. We want to get Max prepared, and we want you guys to feel Max prepared for the season as well. Right. So we're going to be doing some special things. I'm not sure how many people are aware of this, but while me and Anthony were doing the Hot D show on the main feed, Maester Anthony has a feed called Double Dragon, where he and your buddy Steve, right? Did the also yeah. House of Dragon season one?
Yeah, over at Double Dragon, Steve and I covered season one of House of the Dragon, and but it has not been published on this feed. So what we thought we'd do is we would republish over the next few weeks our coverage of season one. So that's Steve and I. And then, of course, I do have on guests from time to time, medievalists, Game of Thrones linguist David Peterson. Every now and again, I think we had an NFL analyst on at one point to break down a few fight scenes. So we will go ahead and re-release some our Double Dragon coverage here on this podcast.
Yeah, and so there's going to, you like I said, Anthony's got different coverage from us. He's got different experts and whatnot on. I know the majority of you haven't heard that. And as a companion to that, so we'll probably be releasing those early each week. And then later in the week, Jim and I are going to be reading Fire and Blood, the passages that relate to that week's episode. We're going to be discussing the differences in characterization, differences in motivation. This is also, you know, from the tone of the book is historians looking backwards and the differences that we see in their viewpoint versus the first person POVs we're getting from the series. And I think there was like, I was constantly amazed at kind of the subtle differences and what they might say about the direction the future is going. Jim, this is your first This will be your first go through into the world of Ice and Fire in written form. Are you excited to check out Fire and Blood?
You know, I've heard so much about this mushroom character that, yeah, yeah, I'm kind of really excited, actually.
You're going to get a lot of mushroom.
mushroom heavy, real unagi flavor. Here. That's not the word. Is it unagi? Is that the, or am I, is that sea urchin? Unami. Thank you.
I feel like this is maybe we should call out the significance of the moment. Aaron, you've been trying to get Jim to watch or to read some book content for probably over 15 years. This announcement is significant because this is the first time that Jim has actually agreed to do this.
Yes. Yeah. I said, here's my pitch. You'll probably have to read a page and a half a week. He's like, sold.
That was great. Yeah. That really did sell me. It's the further dipping of my toe into the fantasy waters, right? Because I did this with Game of Thrones, the show initially. I was like, I don't know. It's fantasy. Not really into fantasy. And then, you know, I heard great things about it. Same with the books. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So that's our plan. We're going to be doing Maester Anthony, since we don't want to just like, you know, blow out the feed with five shows a week. He's going to be taking a hiatus from the Bookaloo.
Yes.
We're going to be doing this in favor of that. Do you have any plans for during House of Dragon season proper while we're doing the show?
Yeah, over at Double Dragon, we'll be doing a little bit of commentary, and we're running a fans fantasy league related to House of the Dragon, so we'll be talking about that over at Double Dragon. Steve and I will review the season two of House of the Dragon as a rewatch. So once Aaron and Jim are done with their coverage of season two, then you can immediately start that rewatch with Steve and I. On on this very, in this very space.
And the Jim and I are going to continue our look at Fire and Blood after season two. We're going to go over immediately after the season, again, as a companion to Anthony's podcast here. We'll be doing an analysis of the differences between things in Fire and Blood and things that made it to the screen. So
fantastic.
That's going to be interesting. There is there at least the, for season one, maybe season two is just going to be straight chalk from the book. But I somehow doubt it.
I doubt it, too. I do have one question for you all before we go our separate ways. And this relates to season one. But I hope this parlays into season two. And here's my question. Do you think it's harder for a great man to be a good man?
Is it possible?
No, for not possible. Do you think it's more difficult? Do you think it's more difficult to be a good man if you are a great man?
Yes. If I'm reading the definition of great man correctly, yeah.
What about I agree. You, okay. I almost like I openly question if it's even possible for a good man to be a capital G great man.
Well, that's you're taking it even a step further now because I think
what woman season, for that matter.
Well, I wanted to make it gender specific because I think that season one was specifically, and I honestly like Patty Considine. I just think that his performance in season one was magnificent, but I think from episode one all the way to episode eight of that season, it was really trying to portray him as someone who's trying to be a good man when really it kind of hindered his ability to be a great man. Because, you know, he's trying to be a good father, trying to be a good husband, trying to make decisions for the realm and being pulled between goodness and greatness. And at one point in the season, he does say to Otto, he's like, they're not going to write any songs about me. I'm not the conqueror. But he tries to be good, and I think that that maybe makes him a bad king in the end.
There's still lots of hot D to talk about. We'll be back right after the break.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club. But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time. For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love. And now back to Hot D.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that limits good people's ability to be great is that, you know, in our day, and especially down in the days of A Song of Ice and Fire, they have finite resources. It seems like it's almost impossible to be good to everyone as they see it in their own eyes, right? And that means you have to make decisions about who gets what limited resources, which lords curry the favor, which one. And, you know, to the extent that you're letting bad things happen to other good people, not because they're fault, just because you just can't. Like, I think that's what, you know, King Vizzy T, as much as I love him and Patty's characterization of him in the first season, a bit of a people pleaser. And you just can't do that. At some point, hard decisions are forced upon you, and he just seemed like a person who couldn't say no to people he loved. Really twisted himself in knots trying to make you know, trying to mend fences that were unmendable. And it's another thing is like, you know, what do you think? Here's another question for maybe you both. What do you think his greatest flaw in season one? What was his biggest mistake?
I think that first episode where he chooses his male heir over his wife's life.
Mm.
And everyone in the room says that's the right thing to do because that's what a king will do. But then what ends up happening, I don't think that that's his greatest mistake, but I think what ends up happening as a result of that, he decides to not listen to sound political advice because I don't think he trusts his political advisors from that point on. It's like, you told me to do this. It went badly. I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm going to follow my heart. I'm going to try to be a good father. I'm going to try to be a loyal brother. All of that, if all the rest of that season is a consequence to him fail, you know, that failure in season one or episode one.
Yeah, I know. What do you think, Jim? What do you think his greatest mistake was?
I mean, that's a pretty good one. I don't know. I mean, you needed to create a little more controversy if he's going to get to a million followers. That was probably the biggest controversy. Or biggest
some people could say that, you know, just pass the baton to Damon. You could have avoided some of this warfare in the end.
Yeah, I do think like not patching things up with his brother, you know, when he had an opportunity to, was probably a huge mistake.
The thing is, yeah, Damon, it takes two to tango. I don't know that he was putting out vibes that I'm trustworthy with power. But I thought that one of his greatest mistakes was his inability to identify people who were truly not only loyal, but like kind of zealous for the realm.
Sure.
When he finally got Lord Strong, it's like, yeah, if he had Lord Strong as a hand throughout his entire kingship, I wonder how things had been different. And then he couldn't even keep that around because, you know, Lord Strong's foot fetish son, and that is why it's like that he couldn't see how self-serving some of the advice that he was getting from his and even when he could, he seemed like he was powerless to kind of go against it and strike off on his own path. Some things that he knew were right, knew was right, you know?
Yeah, no, I thought that was one of the major themes of season one was is it possible for a good man to be a great king? And I think the answer was no. But I think that might parlay to season two, because I think one of the major themes that they're going to play with is it possible for a good woman to be a good queen? Or is it possible for a great queen to be a good person or something like that? And I think that they're going to play with motherhood along those lines. So that'll be what I'm looking for in season two.
Sounds good. It does. I tell you, the trailer makes it look like it's going to be a party on wheels, like so much more action than in season two, to the extent that that's the kind of my own, I guess, only pocket worry. And it's not really, because I have a lot of faith in this production, but I hope, you know, my PTSD from certain later elements of Game of Thrones has me kind of like, oh man, I've is kind of a binary in my thought that like the more action heavy the show gets, the less, you know, plot and machination heavy it could be. And I like my Game of Thrones content in that scheming, manipulation, treachery pocket. And don't get me wrong, I do love the thrilling action sequences, but I hope we're not sacrificing one for the other. I don't think we are.
There's going to be a major set piece in every episode. I don't think that there will be.
No.
Since I've read Fire and Blood, and I'm kind of refreshing I think it's most people that are aware of the materials are seeing that there's going to be, you know, a handful of set pieces. And it sounds like they're going to have a really good rhythm and pace.
Yeah.
But and I think that would be perfect. But, you know, if that stuff spills out in the other episodes, or it feels like you got to, you know, punch everything up, there's a little concern, you know, Condal's flying solo this year. But I like I said, I'm 95% sure that they're going to kill it, because I was really worried about season one. I was looking at Fire and Blood, like, how do you make something that's going to be compelling out of this narrative? And they really cleared that bar. So
Yeah, I don't have. I mean, after season one, I kind of trust that season two will be even more more of the same and better. There's a few things about season one that I wasn't thrilled about, but I think that some of the throat clearing has is done. And I almost see season one as almost the prologue to this story.
Oh, yeah. And I do think that you've got that's got a lot of potential, right? Because you spend that much time on the prologue developing these characters, their jealousies, their hatreds, mm-hmm. their loves. You know, it's going to be that more meaningful and impactful with the action. Because, you know, if action without stakes, without connection to the characters and their goals and ambitions is, you know, Saturday morning cartoon stuff. And House of Dragon, even when the combat is accidental, essentially, and unintentional, like in the right. last scenes of the finale last season, it's still right. like jaw-dropping, right? Right. So...
Well, that's part of this. It's like the chaos. It's like Daemon Targaryen. He's a chaos tornado. You're not sure. And then you put him on an actual weapon of mass destruction. Something unexpected's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's part of why we tune in, I guess.
So, yeah, that's get your appetite wet for lots of House of the Dragon season one content. I think that people are going to be fully primed and ready. When the series drops here in 10 weeks, and we've got a 10-week march to get up mm-hmm. for that. Of course, we'll also have, if you're like, I'm not sure about the book stuff and review stuff, that's fine. We'll have our normal review out a week before the season, as usual. And I'm looking, like I said, looking forward to it. And hope you enjoy our combined coverage of both the show and the book over the next few weeks. And don't forget, our emails are open, hotd@baldmove.com. If you want to get in on the discussions, we'll be doing that in the lead up as well. Anyway, really appreciate you guys listening, subscribing. We'll see you in the next few weeks and can't wait for House of the Dragon season two. Thank you, Anthony, for coming on for this joint announcement. Jim, too, for being willing to crack open a Song of Ice and Fire book and learn the fine arts of reading Mushroom. And we'll see you guys next week. Until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Anthony.
See ya.